Hello.
Hey, did you miss me?
Hey, Casey.
See, look at that. Works good.
Did the danger leave the building?
The danger left the building.
You're in the clear?
I'm in the clear.
Nice.
And I got my microphone to work.
Yeah, you're sounding super crisp and clear now.
I'll be the judge of that when this gets played back.
Do your podcasts together in the same room or what?
Yeah, we sure do. Yep.
Yeah, I like it. I listened to number 7, I think, as I told you, on my drive back from Southern California.
Oh, that's what you were saying. So, well, we should clarify that, right? So I do a podcast called the Barrel Proof Comedy Podcast, which you can find at barrelproofcomedy.com and on iTunes and Stitcher and Facebook and Twitter. But also, the last episode we did, episode 107, was about Tin Cup Whiskey. And you said Tin Cup got me from somewhere.
Hanford to Oakland.
Hanford to Oakland. So I read that as that there was some sort of part of Mike's life where he at one point was in Hanford, Connecticut. And then I pictured you, I don't know, hitchhiking or hopping a train with just you and your bottle of Tin Cup Whiskey making your way to Oakland.
Very like Jack Kerouacian, huh? On a freight train with a bottle.
Right. Just you and your Tin Cup.
Nope, I was just bombing up I-5 listening to you guys, and that's about how long how long the podcast was, that's how far I got.
We always say we want to do an hour, but they end up being like an hour and 15. We should probably tighten them up a little bit, though.
No, that's good. You guys sounded good. I got a kick out of you're kind of liking the whiskey, but not so much beyond it being just generically okay, and then you're talking about cereal and whatever else. I can't remember all the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole thing with the podcast is we start out, we pick a whiskey, and then we sit down and we crack the mics, and then it usually takes us about 15 to 20 minutes even to get to the whiskey because somebody says something, and then we get into some, you know, it's always some super, super relevant, you know, some sort of super relevant, like, thing from the 90s, you know, some old gum commercial or something, and then we just break into that stuff, and then it's like, oh yeah, we should drink this whiskey and talk about that, and then we do that for a while, and then we break into more, you know, obscure pop culture references or whatever the hell else is going on.
This is the West Coast Project podcast, so
right,
you're in the, I guess this is the uncategorized feed.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Yeah.
Normally, we're kind of a fan cast for TV shows that me and my fellow podcasters like, and we review and kind of talk about the psychology and humor and all, you know, all the good stuff in the episodes. But you've been on here before. We just kind of shoot the breeze. I don't know if this is like maybe the comedy feed or what would you call it, the popular culture feed?
You know, I don't know. I was looking at your website, which is totally blown up since the last time I did a podcast with you. I think what
you are, this is the 185th podcast.
Such bullshit. I hate that.
Hey, you're back.
Okay, so now we reset, right?
Casey, I lost you right as I said you're the 185th podcast on West Coast Project.
Right, so that's what I was saying was the last time I did a show with you, I think, was when I just totally ate my balls at Sally Tomatoes and then cried about it for like an hour. Was it the last show?
Well, when I said that, our sound cut out, so I thought you just hung up on me like, yeah, fuck you, show off. Because I knew you're on your 7th podcast at Barrel Proof. But Yeah, it was something like that right after your show at Selly Tomatoes.
Yeah, and so now you've got like a bunch of different shows, right? Like it looks like you've got, what, Mr. Robot, and you got Halt and Catch Fire. You're doing a fair, Fargo.
Better Call Saul.
Louie. Yeah. What's OITNB? What's
Orange that? Is the New Black.
Oh, okay. And are men allowed to watch that show?
You know what, dude? I tuned out on that, and I left that up to my my two other podcast partners are women, and I just said, if you guys want to do this, just fill it in. I'm done with this show. I stopped watching it, like,
really?
Halfway through. Yeah, halfway through the podcast, that feed's kind of left hanging.
You were hoping it would be just like an hour of Caged Heat, right?
Well, we did. This was our second year, maybe our third season. I just got tired of it. So Michelle and her daughters were doing it for a while, and it's like halfway completed. But yeah, we'll fill it in. I'll have them fill it in, and we'll catch it up. But
is that show like? I mean, is it like just a lot of, you know, women having prison sex, or is it? There's probably more to it than that, right?
It's women in prison and all the stuff they encounter, like women getting pregnant by guards and smuggling contraband in and out, and their relationships with their families. And it's kind of it's a true story. Piper Kerman wrote a book about how she had to go into a prison for moving money around for drug mules. And she got caught. She had to go to prison for a few years. So she wrote a book, and they made a series about it.
Huh. And so, and it's been on for 2 years, 3 years now?
2 or 3, yeah. I guess I should know that, huh? I don't actually.
You don't do the podcast anymore, so you don't have to.
Yeah,
know that.
Three. It's I've got podcast feeds up to 304, so third season.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was on a plane last weekend, and I was on Virgin, which is amazing. And they had on-demand TV, and one of the things was Orange is the New Black. And I was thinking, like, if I just turn this on, like, are all the, you know, kids behind me just going to see a bunch of shower scenes? And like,
your male mind is running rampant on you. It's more of a.
Of course it is, Mike.
It's more of a. I don't know if I'd call it a crime show. It's kind of a psychology show. It's just about what the women encounter. It's not a bunch of lesbian sex, dude. It's on. You know, it's kind of on primetime TV.
Is it? I thought it was on like Showtime or something.
Well, it is. But I mean, it's people watch it. I mean, it's not a sex show.
Well, because so is Game of Thrones, right? I mean, yeah. I was checking that one out, and I think my wife was taking a nap or something. And I'm like, let me, you know, because everybody talks about these shows, right? Which I'm convinced are like they don't really exist. Just people talk about them to make me feel left out. So I put on Game of Thrones, and there was just like this huge orgy, and of course that's, you know, when my wife woke up, came out to the living room, and she's like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "I don't know, just watching a little TV on Sunday afternoon." You know?
Yeah, right at that point. Yeah, you don't those points.
Why don't you make me a drink?
Those points aren't too far apart, and they're pretty common in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all. It's all disguised as some historical, you know, soap opera. But what it really is just a bunch of gladiators getting it on.
Did you? Have you got all your links and stuff up in Comedy Proof or Barrel Proof?
Barrel Proof Comedy.
Comedy.
What do you mean
proof?
My links?
Proof. Yeah.
Barrel what proof. Are those?
I like all your Stitcher and all that stuff. I was showing you TuneIn Radio. Did you get that going?
You know, I sent him an email. I'm not sure because Steve Osborne, the other half of the Barrel Proof Comedy Podcast, runs the email and the Twitter, and I do Facebook, and that's about it. No, I actually edit and produce the podcast though, which is no easy task.
Okay,
let me tell you. Like you think we ramble about stuff? I mean, I cut out the first episode. Did you hear the first one?
I think so. I think I've listened to all of them.
Really? That's great. You're like the one guy. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Mike. Appreciate
that.
Yeah,
no problem.
So the first one, we're all super excited, and I think I had a drink before we started, and then we drank a lot of the whiskey that we didn't really like. And And we, like, I mean, it was kind of a mess. And then by the end of the thing, I tried to do plugs, you know, for, you know, because Sally Tomatoes in Rohnert Park is, like, a big sort of supporter of us. And so I plugged all their shows, and I just realized it was just a mess. Like, it was, I mean, I put it out there, and I uploaded it, but I hadn't, like, told anybody yet, right? It was just on the server. And then I listened to it as I was going to bed. Like, I put it on because I'm a huge narcissist. And so I listened to it, and I was just like, I cannot release this. So then I had to take it down and, like, cut probably a good 15 minutes off the end of the podcast.
Yeah, because you sound brilliant while you're doing it, right? You feel like, ah, oh, this is fantastic podcast.
This is gold. Yeah, exactly.
You listen to it, you're just some drunk on the radio.
Yeah, no, I was kind of slurring a little bit, and it was like, all right, I gotta cut this out. So I think we're gonna release that at some point. That's like a little bonus Easter egg thing.
Well, if you ever want to spruce up your podcast, Casey, I will send you the phone message that you sent to me when we were looking for Chris Lepore during his bachelor party.
Oh yeah, we're gonna need audio of that.
In fact, I'll insert that here in our podcast. And we can all enjoy it.
Mike, we're all worried about Chris. Where is he? Bring him up.
As well, you should. As well, you should. So you don't have an intro or anything on this thing, do you? You don't like. Open it up with I'm Mike Mack and this
we
is Casey
do,
Williams.
We do on our, you know, I've been learning this stuff, man. Some of the podcasts I like, the best ones are people, they have about a 20 or 30 second brief little interlude where they talk to each other and then they do their preview and it's usually music or some sort of a drop. Then they come back and they introduce the name of the show. So usually for our shows we do, for our TV shows, we have different music and different, you know, specific introductions, depending on who my partner is. But I don't really have one for just the West Coast project, Shoot the Breeze with Casey.
Right. And that makes sense. And that's what this will be, right? Because I saw that you have a podcast that's just called West Coast Project, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of starting one with the Comedy Case, because your name on Skype is Case 707. And I just thought that's a great name. That's the Comedy Case. You should grab that before I do.
The Comedy Case?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do with it? I'm the case. What are you talking about?
Comedy.
You're going to do comedy?
Well, Case doesn't have to be Casey. It just works great for you because of your name. But
yeah, it works good for me and beer, too, you know, usually. Sometimes, depending on, you know, how the evening goes.
So what do you want to talk about, man? It's been a long time since we did our last podcast.
Jeez, I just want to talk about you and your huge podcast network. So this is you host all these on your server itself, or do you use another service to? Because I think that stuff's interesting. You know, when I decided we were going to do a podcast, I actually listened to. Do you know who Ari Shaffir is, Mike?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, so he does a podcast, right? And I'm not like a listener of it. I've heard a couple episodes, but then somebody told me that he does. There's one episode where, like, for the last 15 minutes, he really, and I you know, looked for it and listened to it, and he really spells out exactly how to sort of make this happen, like from the equipment to get and the server to use and all that kind of stuff. Now, as far as getting people to listen to it, I'm sure that's sort of you know, more about being famous.
Or just good. Yeah, content is kind of king there. Do you remember? I'd actually like to listen to that. Do you remember what episode? Was it recent or a long time ago? Or,
you know, I don't remember which episode it was. But if you just, you know, Google Ari Shaffir, you know, how to do a podcast or whatever, people sort of talked about it in the podcasting community. And it was pretty interesting. So I did. I mean, I went out and I bought the, you know, the Shure SM58 microphones that he recommended. Or I don't know if he recommended exactly those mics. He was going, I think, a little budget-wise, like a little cheaper than that. But these are really good for vocals. And so I got those, and he uses a Zoom recorder, which works really well. I mean, that's a really cool little handheld recorder thing.
I actually have one, a Zoom mic. I have one of those.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Do you have the, which one do you have?
The H2, I think.
H2. Yeah. So, there's a couple, you know, there's a few, there's a six that's out now that I kind of want to get, cause you can have, it has six inputs. And what we'd like to do at some point with our show is start having guests on with us, which would be difficult to do because you'd have to have like a splitter for the microphones. And then what happens there is the mics that are split are, you know, lower
quality.
You know, they're not lower quality, but they're just not as loud. So then you got to get into the leveling. And then the other thing, though, the one thing that he turned me on to, which was really works well, is there's a program called the Levelator. I don't know if you use that, but when you get your WAV file, you pull up this program called the Levelator, and then you drag and drop your WAV file into it, and then it takes about, I don't know, half an hour or something, and it evens out all the levels on the podcast. So that's like your first step. And then I use Audacity because I don't have a, you know, Mac or anything. And then, you know, put in the bumper music and the we usually do a little tag at the end too. And you know, if somebody says something horribly racist, we'll cut it out. But for the most part, no, I'm just kidding. That doesn't really happen. But you know, for the most part, we just, you know, it is whatever it is, you know, which is great. I mean, it makes it, we don't do a lot of editing and chopping it up or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, I try to do that too. Like the best podcasts are ones you don't even touch. You just let them roll.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should definitely check that out. Although the audio quality on yours are pretty good as they are right now, which is great.
Almost exclusively, I think they may be 100% through Skype and call recorder. And you have WAV files. Those are huge files. Those are pretty clear, nice, uncompressed files.
Well, that's what we do is me. I load it into Audacity, which is a free program, right? And then I put in the music and all that kind of stuff, and then I export it to an MP3 and then upload it as an MP3. And we record in mono so that, you know, you don't want to record it in stereo because then if, you know, somebody's listening, they got one earbud, they're only going to hear one of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were talking about that on your podcast, like one on each side. Pretty funny.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Although that would kind of drive me nuts, I think, after a while. And I have headphones that I've literally just cut the other earbud off because, you know, if you're walking your dog or something, you know, you want to be able to hear cars coming by or like cleaning the house, you know, that kind of stuff. That's when I usually, I don't know, when do you listen to podcasts, Mike, in your car?
In my car, going, like walking my dog, like you said, or going on a bike ride or a run or something, you know, just going to sleep. You ever listen to them going to sleep and then you kind of dream about what you're hearing and you wake up halfway through and wonder what the hell you're dreaming about and it's like infused into your mind because they're hearing it through your podcast?
Dude, totally. I totally do that all the time. I listen to a podcast. Like, I can't go to sleep without some sort of noise in my ear. It keeps the demons quiet. And all the horrible regrets. No, it's I do, actually. And then what'll happen is I'll wake up, like, either right when it ends or right as they're wrapping it up. And then I'll start it over again sometimes. And then, you have these dreams where you're, like, in a conversation with these people. And it's very bizarre.
Right, right. You got to re-listen because you didn't catch it all because you drifted off to sleep.
Right. I can't do it when I'm running, though. I don't know. I got to hear music, I think. It sort of drags me down a little bit, you know. Weightlifting, though. You can lift weights to podcasts. I don't know. That's just me. I'm a weirdo, though. What are you going to do? What's your bedtime podcast, Mike? Reveal that for the listeners.
I listen to a lot. Actually, here, I can give you my – you want to see my feed? I'll tell you what's in my queue here, Casey.
It's all iTunes, right? You do iTunes or
– Pretty much because I have an iPhone and iPad, so it's easy. iTunes is easy.
So you're slave. All right.
I listen to This American Life. The Barrel Proof Comedy Podcast is a
number two.
Well, that's just how in the recent – ones that I've listened to.
No, I like just being right in there with the, you know. I mean, we're going on a list from best to, you know. I don't mind being second best, you know.
I listen to my competition. Like Mr. Robot has other podcasts that people have for it. I listen to Bill Burr, Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, that's like my sorry about that. That's like my go-to podcast, actually. Bill Burr's, yeah, Monday morning, and then Thursday right before Monday.
Friday.
Right before Friday, Monday Morning Podcast. Yeah, I love that stuff. He's great.
I listened to one about fantasy sports called Fangraphs. I listened to one about Game of Thrones called Game of Owns. Vulture TV. So I got a bunch of them, man. Just
what's Vulture TV about?
Just about pretty popular stuff on Vulture. Like this latest one is the shows Empire and Quantico. They review TV shows, movies, popular culture and stuff.
All these shows that everybody but me watches. I just saw a commercial for that Quantico show, and I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, you're not much of a TV watcher, huh?
You know, I do. I watch kind of sort of nerdy shows, though. I mean, like my, you know, I have a 14-year-old son, and I've always, you know, we sort of bonded very early in his life over a shared love of Spider-Man. And really all the mans, you know, Batman, Superman, Iron Man. And so, you know, we're pretty fired up at our house because Gotham's back. And so we're looking forward to that. And we watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we watch a lot of Giants baseball, though. So it kind of, you know, that pretty much takes up prime time most of the time.
Right.
And that's usually always on in our house. And then I watch The Walking Dead, of course, like everybody else.
Fear the Walking Dead? You've been watching that?
You know, I watched the first one, and then I didn't get immediately, like, sucked into it, but then I think it was night before last, I watched 2 and 3, and so now I'm definitely looking forward to watching the next one. The problem with that show is, like, no one else in my house is, like, into it, so I gotta, you know, it's kind of like, all right, good night, everybody. Now it's time to fire up The Walking Dead, you know?
Yeah, you're zoned out.
That kind of, well, it's just, you know, I don't know. Like, my wife's not really into that sort of thing, and I don't think my son is really either. So it's kind of like, you know, it's dad time. A little zombie action. But, yeah, it seems pretty good. You know, I like the fact that it's starting, like, during – you're sort of going through this whole experience of what happened to the world.
Yeah, but they blew it. They zoomed ahead by 9 days, and they went through all that like too quickly.
Oh yeah, see, I didn't get that. I didn't get to that part yet. I'm still like, I got to like the National Guard just showed up at the house when they were getting ready to leave, and then all of a sudden, you know, I think the wife was going to get eaten by the woman or something was going to happen. And then the National Guard sniper shoots the Asian lady. And then,
yeah, the neighbor woman.
And then it's like, oh, the cavalry's here. So yeah, that's kind of a bummer that they,
well, at some point soon coming up for you, right where you should be like, okay, this is the cool part explaining it all. There's a 9 days later and you're nine days. So they zoomed right past all that really cool stuff that everybody thought was going to be part of what this show is about.
Right.
And now it's essentially the Walking Dead LA version.
How far didn't they do that with the Walking Dead too, right? It was like, you know, you went to the hospital and then all of a sudden it was I can't remember how much later, but
yeah, it had already happened when Rick woke up in the hospital.
Right, but how did he not like starve to death or die of, you know, I mean, I know he had like a He probably had an IV.
IV, yeah.
But that would only last like a day or two, right? I mean,
well, you don't die the next day because you don't have food. I mean, you'd probably last, what, several days without food and water?
I think you can go like a week without food, but I think you can only go like 3 days without water, though, or 2 days or something. I mean, you get dehydrated, die pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, I didn't trip over that too much. It was pretty believable. Like, the flowers were all kind of wilted, and he woke up and unplugged himself. I don't know. I thought it was pretty believable.
Maybe. Yeah, sorry. So I'm not trying to like shit on the show. I mean, I love it, but it's like it just made me think when you said that. You know, I'm like, well, how long was Rick in the hospital from the time that he, you know, went in there to when all the zombies came and then he came out? You know, it had to be a while, right?
Right. I would have guessed like a week, like maybe just under a week.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to watch episode one again. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, and then just reruns of like Law and Order, you know. But not the real Law and Order, because that's for like pussies. Like, we watch the SVU because we're kind of screwed up. But that's just my wife and I, though. Actually, the boy isn't too into the SVU.
So, Casey, you want to say something funny since you're a comedian?
I love it when people say that. Hey, Mike, you want to say something like annoying? Or
I thought I just did.
Oh, come on.
Now that there's an example of what you can hear on the Barrel Proof Comedy Podcast.
Oh, that was, yeah. I mean, there's more and more comedy to come, let me tell you. Actually, you know, people, we've gotten some pretty good feedback. There's some serious laughs in that show. I think we do okay for a couple of guys just sort of rambling.
Yeah, you guys are good. Yeah, I mean, Steve's actually like a really has a good voice. He sings those little cuts from songs and stuff. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, the last two, he was like, "I gotta stop. I gotta stop singing on the podcast." I'll give you a little insider that we haven't really, you know, talked about much to our listeners. But episode 6 and 7 were actually recorded in succession. And we, cause I was going on vacation. I took a trip for like 10 days. And so I was like, well, we got to do 2 so that we can release one while I'm gone. And then we'll, you know, keep some continuity going. And so we recorded the first one and then the second one right afterwards. So you can tell we're a little like, you know, we drank, you know, a couple glasses of whiskey in the first one. So it's a little different vibe. In this, you know, episode 7, I guess. And so then I went on vacation. I went on a cruise, right? And they had internet package. And so I was planning, like, I'm going to get the internet package. I'm going to edit the podcast. I'm going to throw it up online. And the internet, it was horrible, Mike. It was
on a cruise, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It was like dial-up. But the good news is it was $175 for a week.
Jeez.
I could not believe it, man. I mean, it was like it wouldn't even let you get to websites like YouTube or, you know, Netflix or anything like that. And I tried for about 2 hours to upload my podcast, and it would get to like about 5 megs. And, you know, they're about 75, right? 75 megs for an hour.
Yeah.
And it would just kill it. And then you'd have to start all over. So it wasn't like you could just pick up where you left off either. It was just like, you know, and so I was so frustrated at that point. I mean, when you pay for internet, right? I mean, you expect it to be – you don't expect it to be lightning fast, but you expect to be able to at least do stuff. I tried to go to speed test, you know, just to see what the upload speed was, and it wouldn't even let me get on that site either.
That's a good sign that it's not going to work.
It was almost like there was somebody upstairs like – I mean, it was literally like screwing with me. Like, it was almost like there was somebody monitoring it that could see I was uploading a file and would kill it. Because sometimes it would go for like an hour and then die. And then other times, you know, because I'd leave the room and then I'd come back. And then other times it would, you know, like 5 minutes in, it would die. And it's just like, I mean, internet costs what, like $60 a month? You know, I mean, if you're going to pay 3 times that for a week, you expect to at least be able to, you know, upload a file.
Yeah, but think about it, man. It's probably like 1,200 people going through one modem, and that modem has to, like, it's wireless somehow, satellite or something.
Satellite. It's got to be satellite. It is satellite. No, I know it is because it said connect to satellite.
So that combination is just not a good recipe for fast data upload.
They should tell you that, though. I think they should say, look, you're going to be able to send emails. Like, I had to send a 5-meg attachment, you know, for some other business thing, and it, you know, took probably an hour to get off my, you know, to get out. And yeah. They should tell you. I mean, they should say, like, don't think you're gonna, like, you know, binge watch Netflix on this thing. Like, you can send email, you can use Facebook Messenger, you know, you can sort of go through your news feed, but like the pictures take, you know, a little while to show up. And you know, I mean, whatever it was, I mean, for that, it's fine. I just felt a little like, you hear me, Norwegian Cruise Line.
So I'm coming for you. Let me ask you about your podcast, Casey. Do you guys, you're totally unsponsored, right? You just buy a whiskey that you guys want to try, and they don't ship you the whiskey for you to review. You just buy it on your own.
Yeah, not yet. I think that is the goal, though. I mean, we're working with we're working on maybe getting like a local liquor store. I think would be the best way to do it. You know, because we don't want to like be sponsored by a whiskey. You know, I mean, I would be happy to review if somebody sent us something. Yeah, we'd be happy to review it. But we're not gonna like pretend to like something. Like we kind of did that in the first episode. And then we spent the next six episodes just sort of crapping all over it. And because I realized, like, well, what's the point of that? Like, I'm not going to pretend like I like, you know, something just because, you know, even if they sent it to us, we don't want to do that, you know. Yeah. So I'm hoping to get in with, like, a distributor or a liquor store. So, you know, if you guys are listening, Sonoma County, California, you'd be on the number one whiskey comedy podcast in Bene Valley, which is a neighborhood of Santa Rosa. And, you know, I think that would be the way to go. But I think if we had a sponsor, I would say it's, you know, Sally Tomatoes, just because they help promote our podcast, you know, through their contacts, which is pretty cool. And, you know, they're going to let us do some live shows there and that kind of thing.
Well, your tin cup one was pretty funny because you talk about it started out like really kind of positive, and then it kind of went downhill from there. You talk about this enterprising young guy, 22, moves to Colorado and starts his own whiskey brewing company. Tin Cup, what a great entrepreneur. And then it's like, you know, this whiskey, if you go in and you buy like a Yukon Jack or something, it tastes about the same as every other whiskey on the shelf. You made it from what an entrepreneurial great guy to like, this is generic stuff off the shelf. It's nothing special.
Yeah, well, his story, that's the cool thing about whiskeys, too, is that they always have, like, this little book attached to the bottle or, you know, something on the label, and it's always some romantic story about how the whiskey was created or, you know, what their thought process was, which is great. But as we were drinking it, we realized this is totally just generic whiskey. I mean, it's like a call whiskey, pretty much. And it wasn't expensive. I think it was $25, so it wasn't... It wasn't like some super expensive bottle, but I was just thinking, wow, this is nothing like I thought it would be at all from reading the description.
And at one point you said, you know, everybody, your best bet, go on eBay and just buy yourself a tin cup that you would get with the whiskey. Save yourself the cost of the whiskey.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like now that you get like it's like a free toy inside. I think that's how we got on cereal. Because, you know, Blanton's comes with that little horse thing on the top. And, you know, Tin Cup's got the little tin cup on there. And there's a couple other ones that have little doodads. And we're getting there. We're getting there, Mike.
Well, I think it's good that you're honest and you don't feel obligated to, like, support the whiskey just because they gave it to you. That's good.
Yeah, and the other thing that's cool about the show is, you know, because we're both comedians, we can sort of promote. We don't just promote our shows, though, but we, you know, try to talk about all the – because Sonoma County's really – I mean, we were talking, what, a year and a half ago, I think it was, about the last – you know, yeah, it was. It was December – I don't know, it wasn't a year and a half ago. It was like 10 months ago. But we were talking about how hold on a second. I'm sorry. I got to fact check myself here. 10 months ago, we had a Skype call, but it wasn't really it wasn't like a podcast, right? We just sort of talked about what kind of podcast we would do if we did a podcast or something. Do you remember that conversation, Mike?
Am Casey, I crazy? I'm very busy. I can't remember all these.
Well, managing the West Coast Project, you know, podcast network has got to be pretty tough.
Hey, it's an empire, man. What can I say?
Yeah, you have 10 shows on here.
No, I can't remember doing a call that we didn't podcast. We just didn't put anything up at all.
Maybe you did release it and you didn't tell me, but I remember we talked about maybe doing a podcast together, and we had a call about that, and that was in December, but it was like a year and a half ago. I've totally digressed and gone off the rails at this point, and
no
I apologize
problem.
But whenever the last one that we did together we were talking about how Sonoma County is really sort of, and it really has, like, for comedy. I mean, there's a comedy show all the time now, and more are getting added all the time. And frankly, we're a little pissed because, you know, there's enough. I mean, at some point.
Competition. You don't like the healthy competition?
Nah, it's fine. The competition's fine. I think everybody's got their own sort of niche. It's just every once in a while you'll see a new show and you're like, well, who's that? Like, how do we not know who that is, you know, kind of thing. But I think it's cool. I mean, it shows that all the, you know, the venues, right, the bars and now wineries are doing it. They see the sort of value in providing this entertainment for people. And, you know, you get people to come in and they have some drinks and they have, you know, some laughs and they have a good time. And I think it's a really good sort of way to bring people into your place, right? And the other thing, too, is, I mean, I'm always saying it when I'm trying to promote a show is, you know, Netflix is always going to be there. Like, you know, you have a DVR. You can record whatever you want to watch at home. But it's good to get out and sort of socialize. I feel like our sort of, I don't want to get too, like, Orwellian, but our society is really sort of geared towards, look, people, just stay home. You don't have to go anywhere anymore. You know, everybody's got a badass system at home to watch movies on, and they can order whatever they want from their phone. Food shows up or clothes show up or whatever it is you need. And I think it's good to see people sort of out and socializing and having a good time. I really do.
So when you and Steve do Barrelproof, do you go you have the common thread of reviewing the whiskey, but do you have any other notes that you follow, or do you have any other idea about what you're going to talk about, or does it just kind of flow from the conversation?
That's funny that you asked that, Mike. I have like 2 pages of notes that I've written for the first, I think, the first couple episodes we did, I wrote notes of like, okay, these are the things I want to talk about. Just stuff like, this is what happened to me today, or this is, you know, the argument I had with my son or whatever. And we never get to any of them. We just don't. It's like, I don't know. It's like giving a couple of kittens a ball of yarn or something.
It's good, though. I mean, I remember the cereal stuff, but you also talked about like, some maybe TV shows or bands or something.
We get into TV shows a lot. Yeah, we started talking about the Fabulous Thunderbirds, I remember. And then was that the one where we got into the generic, like, food aisle where they would have, like, just yellow boxes?
Yeah, yellow beer, yellow and white beer.
Right, yeah, some of them were white. I forget what store that was. But the one I went to, it was yellow. Everything was yellow. And, yeah, we just sort of, I don't know, it's kind of like it just flows. So it's good. I mean, there's never any like awkward pauses or anything like that.
It's really different than a TV show review because with that, we kind of recap the episode. And so I have tons of notes about the episode, what happened, kind of sequentially. We talk about it and we interject like thoughts about what's going on with other life stuff. But it's almost scripted based on what has happened in that episode. So it's different than just free form shooting the breeze and talking about whatever comes up.
Sometimes I feel like I should be better about following my notes. And I do try to steer us. There's been a couple times where we've just gone way out there and it's like, okay, all right, wait, hold on. We've been talking about Star Wars for 10 minutes. Let's actually put these ice balls into our glasses and drink the whiskey, that kind of thing.
No, it's okay, though. Bill Burr and Adam Carolla, I bet, don't have any notes. They just riff. They may have a guest or something that has a thread that they follow, but, you know, listen to Bill Burr. He just riffs on whatever he remembers from watching a football game over the weekend, or he has his wife sit in. He riffs with her. It's really good. It's really off the cuff, and I like it that way.
Yeah, if you listen, I think he has a couple things that he wants to mention or bring up that he has, you know, written down, because he'll say, oh, what else did I want to talk about? And then, you know, he does do like questions or advice or that kind of thing where he'll read stuff, and sometimes he brings his wife in. But that's I really think that his ability to just sort of sit there with a microphone in a room by himself and fill up an hour of content is pretty impressive.
By yourself, yeah, exactly. That is impressive.
it's really, and it's entertaining. I mean, it's really good listening. So that's kind of the one that I think I listen to the most. And then I'll listen to Doug Benson's podcast sometimes. Tom Segura's got one that he does with his wife, which is pretty good. And I'm trying to think of what else. Fitzsimmons is got one. Greg Fitzsimmons is pretty good. I listen to Todd Barry's podcast sometimes. That one's really good because they get into the sort of the comedy industry stuff, which is pretty interesting to listen to. And I like it because he's brought up our, you know, we did a show with him at Sally Tomatoes. He's brought it up a couple times. I think he called it a rec center once. And I think one of my favorites is Stanhope. I don't know. Have you heard Doug Stanhope's podcast?
No, I haven't. But he showed up at Sally Tomatoes, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like my first big comedy show that I produced was him. And he totally sold that thing out. We were bursting at the seams for that show. That was crazy. But that's just him and his road manager, who I also met. And they, you know, he's like drunk half the time. But he's really, really sharp drunk, you know. He doesn't really slur too much, you know. He's pretty good. And they just sort of ramble about whatever. I don't even know if they have a point. That guy, he lives in some little town in Arizona. It's called Bisbee, near the Mexican border. And it's like all these people that live there are sort of characters on his podcast. But I mean, they're real people, but they're just all interesting enough to be, you know, listenable, or you hear stories about them or stories about the town. And it's cool, you know, but it's not on a schedule at all. Like, it's like, it'll happen and then it won't happen. You know, it's not like Burr does it every Monday and Thursday, or, Carolla does one every day. I mean, that guy's.
Yeah. Long one, like 2 to 3 hours.
He is the master. Now, they're not that long anymore. They're about an hour and a half now. I don't really listen to him anymore, though.
I stopped listening to him, too. I listened to a few on this car. I just had a long car ride. That's why I got, you know, kind of podcasted out over the last few days.
Well, he runs it like a radio show, for sure. And, yeah, I mean, the guy's, you know, he definitely knows what he's doing. I just think it's not really... that show, I think my criticism of that show, which is like, who the hell am I to criticize the mighty Carolla, is that it's not really set up for someone to listen to it regularly. Like, you can't – I used to listen to every single episode and all the whole episode, and you can't really do that because he repeats himself a lot. Like, he really does tell the same stories over and over again. And it gets kind of like, all right, I heard this, you know.
Or at least the same theme. Like, I was in my car, somebody honked at me, or I blew through a red light to turn left, or I was on an airplane, and I saw this, saw that.
Yeah.
The other side of that, though, is it could be interesting. Even if you drop in and out every couple weeks, you can hear something funny.
Yeah, I do, and I totally do. And if he's got a good guest that I want to hear, I'll listen to that. But the other problem with that is he gets these guests on, and then it's like, He tells them stories that they haven't heard that you've heard already, and it's a lot of interrupting the guy. You know what I mean? And Right. Everybody says that. I mean, everybody that's been on his show says that it's pretty hard to get a word in edgewise. You know,
Right. People
that I've talked to that have done his show, they've said, yeah, try to get 11 words in a row out. You know, but I mean, the guy is, you know, like I said, he's the master, and he's got that show, that TV show now, that Catch a Contractor thing, that's pretty successful.
I've seen that a couple of times. That's a show you can't really watch too many of either. It's once in a while, it's okay.
Yeah. Weren't you super into, like, I was super into Bar Rescue when that first came out. You know, I was really thinking, like, this is great. You know, I love John Taffer, and I thought the whole thing was really cool. And, after a while, it's just like it's always the same thing. And it's the other thing about these shows that drives me absolutely nuts is they're so obviously cooked. You know, I mean, they're so set up. And it's like the fact that they expect you to sort of go, wow, this is exciting that this happened. Like, you know, oh, they just found a mouse in the cooler. Like, really? Like, you really expect us to think that that was just a coincidence? And then he'll send – you know, people in to do recon, right? Oh, go check out this bar and see if you like it. And they go in and they're like, couple of beers, please. Like, when have you ever gone into a bar and just said, I'll have a beer? Like, who? I mean, if they only had one kind of beer, you know, maybe you would say that, right? If they were like, we've got Coors Light and we've got margaritas or something, which would never.
Versus asking for a specific type of beer, you mean?
Right. Yeah, you would never, ever just say, oh, we'll have two beers. Like, come on, man.
Like
and then they give it to him, though, Mike. That's the thing. Then they go, oh, sure, right away. And there's like eight taps behind him, you know? It's like, come on.
I like how he has everybody stand with their back to the new refurbished building, too. Like, they're all in the parking lot in the front. Like, turn your back. All right, everybody, one, two, three, turn around. Like, they didn't see it when they drove up to the place. You know, how did they keep that all secret before they actually turned around?
I can't lie, though, Mike. I get so sucked into that stuff. Like, I mean, I did. I was like, you know, it would get emotional, you know, and the whole thing. I mean, it was really good TV. I just wish that they would just – I mean, whatever happens has to be fairly interesting enough to just show that. Like, why not just show that and just see, right?
Well, it must work if it's been on for however long it's been on.
Well, there's a – you know, there's a market for it, just like there's a market for anything. But, I mean, did you ever watch, like, The Real World when it first came out, when it was in New York?
No, I never really got into that show.
Yeah? Well, that was, like, the first one of these reality shows.
Yeah, that
right?
had to be really cooked, too.
Well, it didn't feel that way, though. That's my point, is I think at some point they decided that reality wasn't interesting enough, and they had to really just, like, sort of get into it. I mean, it felt slightly like... You know, they would go, oh, well, now we're all going to do this or now we're all going to do that. But it seemed like it felt like the conversations and the things that happened were sort of just, you know, naturally occurring. Because, of course, everybody's going to try to create drama or they're going to try to be a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a concentrated version of their personality.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're going to try to, like, really be – like a you know, a red wine reduction of who they are because they're on TV, right? So they're going to ham it up and they're going to do that. But I don't know. And a lot of it's editing too. On that
well, they do ask you to suspend your belief. Like it's like Naked and Afraid. You know, are they really in a Peruvian swamp with nobody around? If they were to get hurt, they'd be in life would be in peril. You know, no, there's a freaking technical team. They're videoing the thing.
Right, or Survivor. Yeah, I mean, the same thing. It's like they, you know, once in a while, I guess somebody has something happen to them and they have to helicopter them out. But it's interesting, too, how that kind of television is really just taking over the scripted stuff. But then the scripted stuff, Mike, has gotten really good, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah, this is the wheelhouse of TV. All these great shows are coming out. They're coming out on independent networks too. USA, you know, Mr. Robot, USA Network.
Right, who would have thought? I mean, you know, after the triumph that was Burn Notice, you know, I didn't think they'd ever be able to come back from that. But
it's like opening the door to genius, right? They don't need three executives chomping on cigars to approve stuff. They just, the best quality just rises to the surface.
But like, oh, another show that I watch is The Blacklist. You ever watch that?
I haven't watched that. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Oh man, that's a really good show. I mean, it really definitely draws you in, and then the problem with me is like there's too many of them and I don't have time to watch them.
No, Casey, there's Blacklist, Blackish, and Blackfish. Can you tell me the difference between all three of those?
Wow. One of them stars Tyler Perry. No, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I forget who's in Blackish. But yeah, no, I know the difference. Blackfish isn't a show, though, Mike. That would be terrible. Like, every week you just watch orcas getting tortured.
That's a movie?
Yeah, that's a movie about the horrible world of...
killer whales. Yeah,
sea parks. Yeah, SeaWorld and all that. It's terrible. Our good friend Adam Perlstein, who's a hilarious comedian, who you can see at Sally Tomatoes on October 6th, has a great bit about Blackfish, which I will not step on. But you'll just have to come and check him out because I think you'll dig it.
Casey, I actually just got met. You're constantly repeating Sally Tomatoes. It reminded me of a funny thing that happened to me in real life. I just got met at a friend of mine who... Whenever I talk to her, she's like, hey, I'm playing at the Empire Theater in San Diego. Like, no matter what you say to her, she responds with what she's doing and where she is. She's a singer. And it,
oh, okay.
And you're repeating Sully to me. That was kind of made me think of that. No, no offense.
I got to get my own plugs in. You're not going
to
plug
I
this
stuff. I
actually
blew up at her. I got mad at her. I'm like, look, I'm just trying to tell you I was thinking of you. I don't need a fucking commercial about where you're singing next time. She got all mad at me.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to go? It's in San Diego.
No, I saw like a YouTube that made me think of her or something. And she's like, oh, what was it? Tell me what. I'm like, I don't know. It's just something. Like, if I told you a sunset made me think of you, it doesn't mean you're working the levers up on the sun. It's not all about you. It's just something made me think of you, you know? It's I don't know. Narcissistic. Narcissistic.
Yeah, well, people who perform are kind of – tend to be a little narcissistic.
Not that you are, my friend, but
oh, I'm a little bit. I also have horrible self-esteem too at the same time. So it's sort of a weird combination for me.
Horribly good self-esteem or horribly
No, horribly bad self-esteem. It's like there's two voices. Like one is telling me to, you know, promote my shows, and then the other one is like, "Well, who the hell are you to, you know, who do you think you are getting up on stage? These poor people paid money to come see you. Why would you do that? Why would you take these people's money?"
Yeah, you know? That's one of the greatest sins, man. They say is to listen to your negative self. Keep your. You know, everybody's got a good positive self, but you can't let that get in between you and success.
Right. It's very hard. It's hard to manage that. I think some people just don't have that. They don't have that that self doubt, and they plow ahead. But then sometimes they, you know, wildly embarrass themselves too. I mean, which is not good.
Well, those people that kind of a self-regulating factor, though, right? Those people kind of get wiped off the plan, and the people that have talent shine through. So those are the people that, like Bill Burr, you know, he doesn't have much of a meter. He just goes full force all the time, and he's funny. He has the chops to do it, so it works for him.
But what about the Kardashians? I mean, those people are like
terrible,
right? And they're like the butt of every joke imaginable. But yet, I mean, I know that they're like rich beyond their wildest dreams. So it probably doesn't matter, right? They don't have any kind of motivation to do anything other than that sort of need to be kind of watched, right?
Well, it is a pretty dumb world, you know. People, the mass of people that have, you know, moderately low IQs need that kind of entertainment.
That's what I was telling somebody the other day, that like 100 years from now, somebody's going to find a copy of that movie Idiocracy. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And they're going to see that and think it was a documentary on life 10 years from now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it literally is just like we are absolutely heading that way. I mean, the fact that people are taking Donald Trump seriously, like this isn't – every time I hear something about this, I'm like, wait, this is a joke, right? This is like some publicity stunt or something. But no, I mean, he's actually going to end up on a ballot for president of the United States.
One good thing he's doing, though, is he's shaking up the whole platform, because everybody's, you know, he's not beholden to anybody. Nobody's giving him any money or anything, or if they are trying to, he doesn't need their money. And he's calling everybody. I like that he's involved. He's never going to get anywhere, but it's good that he's kind of shaking up the system.
Mike, you say that, but I could see him getting somewhere, though. I mean, I really do. I think that there's a lot of people that really do agree with the things that he's saying. And, you know, I mean, I think the sad thing is that people don't – they like to bitch about stuff on the internet, but they don't really do anything about it.
Sure.
You know? I mean, just like we are. We're bitching about it on a podcast, you know? I mean, we're not – I'm not out there trying to advocate for anything. And at the same time, I think people don't vote, you know, as much as they should. Right? I mean, didn't you hear that like more people voted on American Idol than the election or something?
Well, the election should be they make it that they vote smartly on American Idol. Can't you vote by, you know, electronically? That's how our voting system should be.
I agree.
Got to have technology to sort out that so you can't vote more than once. It's simple.
But, right. I mean, the whole thing is you got to prove who you are, right? And you can set up an account on the DMV. Right. And pay your registration online. Like, why can't you just have a link from there to vote or something?
You got to prove who you are if you go to your bank account online.
Right. Same thing. Right. We should be able to work that out by now. I mean, I know they had the Well, remember, what was it with the Florida had all the problems with the Chads and all that? And we're still using that same thing with the cardboard paper, and you
it's
make the little
stupid.
Mark.
Then they throw them out. They got to count them by hand because the machine doesn't count them properly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're taking your SATs all over again or something.
Well, I don't know, man. Trump, 15% tax, flat tax. No tax for anyone over 25 grand a year income.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with the flat tax thing. I mean, I don't think that I think that it's kind of weird how we tax, you know, people that make more money at a higher tax rate than people that make less money. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, why should you be penalized for success? But the other thing is, and you know, the people that run their own businesses and run their own companies, I mean, a lot of them are tax shelters, you know? I mean, there's a lot of ways to, like, not claim income that you actually make. And so I wonder if it doesn't even out, you know? I mean, I'm not an expert on this stuff, so I don't want to get too deep into it. But I do know, just from my own experience in running my own businesses, that it's really easy to write stuff off, you know?
Yeah.
Like our, you know, our friend Chris, right? He's a realtor. He's got, you know, he has to sort of balance, like, well, does he want his to show income, or does he want to, you know, he could write more stuff off or less stuff off, and it, you know, it sort of depends on where he wants to be, you know.
When would you ever want to show? I mean, unless you're like a public company, you want to show profits, and anyone with a private business would probably want to zero it out, or even show a loss.
Yeah, but then what happens when you go to buy a house and then your net income is lower than what it actually is because you wrote a bunch of stuff off?
Your income, your personal income, but your company could show a loss while you have a decent income.
Right.
I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah, this is super interesting stuff. I hope hope everybody turned off the podcast 10 minutes ago.
Casey, do you have your computer on?
I do.
You can look at your Twitter feed. Can you look at Twitter? It shows trending. I just noticed this. It shows trending things in Twitter related to what you subscribe to and who you follow.
Uh-huh.
Would you be willing to share any of that?
I would share with you, Mike, that I don't have a Twitter.
No way. That?
I don't have a Twitter, dude. I've got our podcast has a Twitter, which Steve runs.
That's funny.
Well, this is okay. So maybe you can explain it to me, because you're, you know, you obviously have a Twitter, right? Why do we need a Twitter and a Facebook? Why do we need both?
Well, because you could tweet out your podcast when you post it, and all your followers would get it. Also, if you ever do a live podcast, if you ever want people, like while you're on your podcast, to phone in or tweet in, you could say, "Hey, we're about to start our podcast. Here we go." And then people could tweet you while you're talking, and Steve could monitor his computer and say, "Hey, we got a tweet from Mike Mack. He's asking what the hell you're doing with the tin cup when you're done with it." You know, whatever. It could be like a live interface with your audience.
So, first of all, I should say our Twitter for the podcast is @BarrelProofPod. But why couldn't you just do that on Facebook? I know I sound like a moron, but why wouldn't I just make a Facebook post saying, "Hey, we're going to be on"? Is it because people don't – do people get your tweets in more real time than they do on their news feed? Is that
– I think if you post on Facebook, it's real time, but then you got to be watching your channel on Facebook, right? You got to be on your Facebook page to see whatever you've posted. I don't know. You might get an email. It depends on how you're set up to follow someone. But Twitter, if you have your Twitter on, it just comes through. Boom. It's just a constant stream of information from people. If I follow you on Twitter and you post, it comes through my Twitter feed. No matter what I'm doing, you know, there's one Twitter feed. And you,
right.
if I follow you, everybody I follow, whenever they post something, it comes right up on that feed.
So it's not buried a bunch of within a bunch of, like, Ray-Ban ads and, like...
Yeah.
And like you like suggested posts and that kind of crap.
Yeah. If I follow 100,000 people and they're all popular, you know, Kardashians and everybody, and then the stream just is stream literally like shoots past because it gets so many of them come in. But, you know, I follow a few hundred people. So right. I get it's easy to follow for me. So, yeah, it's more of a real live time stream of information from who's ever sending the tweet.
Well, maybe I should get myself a Twitter then. I don't know. I've always just felt like, well, aren't I just doing the same thing with Facebook? Like posting, you know, stupid observations and pictures and crap like that. I mean,
also people can retweet. They can just say, great, that's cool, I'll retweet it. Then it gets kind of exponential. You send a Twitter out, I retweet it, then all my followers see what I've retweeted from you. You know.
But isn't that just like sharing a post on Facebook, though? That's what I'm saying. I know I sound like a moron. I'm just saying, like, to me, it's like, what is – I sound like Grandpa Williams over here. Like, well, why do we need both these things?
Yeah, I think people are more likely to retweet than they are to repost something on Facebook. You know, there's days I don't even open Facebook, too.
Yeah.
But I always have Twitter on.
Yeah, well, from a business standpoint, I got to say that it's pretty tough. I mean, I don't like how they hold you hostage to, like, if you want to promote something. Like, if I do a post from a business site, like, let's say, you know, I don't know, Sally Tomatoes. So if I do a post from there and we've got, you know, I think we've got 2,500 likes, right? If I don't pay any money, like 60 people will see it.
I know. Yeah, that's another reason it doesn't go to everybody.
Right, but for like $20, then, you know, all of a sudden 5,000 people see it. So it's kind of, you know, it's right. I don't like that.
Twitter doesn't have that. Twitter's just still open to everything.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, do you have a Twitter account for your business?
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay anything, right?
No.
God, I sound like such an idiot. I'm so out of touch. I was asking one of the, you know, there's a lot of comics that are in their early 20s. I was asking them, like, well, why do we need Instagram? Every time I see an Instagram post, it's like on Facebook. And he's like, because I don't like to read words. I just like to see pictures. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that makes sense.
It is amazing how technology kind of zooms past us. And I have an Instagram account too, and I never use it.
You never use it?
Nah.
Yeah, that's what when I was on this cruise, my son was in the group with a bunch of like teenagers, right? They had like a teenage group, and he made really good friends with like a lot of them, and they sort of spent the week together, kind of hanging out. And so I told him, you know, we'll get everybody's email address, and you know, give them your email address. And then I talked to him about it the other day, and I was like, well, so did you stay, you know, get their info? He's like, nah. And I said, well, did you get their email addresses? He's like, kids don't use email anymore, Dad. I'm like, oh man, I feel old.
So what do they use? What was his counter?
He said that they use Snapchat and Instagram, and he doesn't have any of those. So I gotta set him up so he doesn't, you know,
miss
so he's
out.
Not a total dork. Yeah.
It's the worst. It's good that he has you as his IT guy with all your vast knowledge of popular trends.
Yeah, he's kind of screwed, isn't he? I'm not exactly on the cutting edge of technology. Although I figured out, I did figure out how to produce and upload a podcast, so that was pretty good.
It's a big step, man. Big.
So I don't know if we ever got to that. Did you answer the question? Like, so do you use a service for these, or do you just post them on the website? Like, are they literally just like hosted files on your website, or where's your RSS feed come from?
It comes. Well, I create the feed, and I think I have a HostGator account. It's just a server, you know. And then I load up the media there, and then my website points to it with links.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, and the RSS feed goes through, like you probably already have iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
I think we have the TuneIn Radio.
That's all they do is they just follow your lead your link back to wherever it's hosted. Although I think Stitcher may hijack your feed and keep it themselves. That's why people don't like Stitcher, because your traffic, you don't get the traffic. Stitcher gets the traffic.
Right. I've heard that. Well, and then the other thing is, actually, no, that's, I don't think that's, well, I guess it depends on whether or not, because I use Libsyn, right? Hello?
Hey.
I don't know what happened there.
It's funny that when you leave and come back, that it doesn't interrupt. It's not like it hangs up and I have to restart the recorder. You just go away and then you come back.
Yeah, that's bizarre. You're just going to have to edit these pauses out, or don't. I don't know. Whatever. So I was saying how I use Libsyn, right?
Yeah.
And Libsyn has an RSS feed. So I've given the RSS feed to Stitcher. And then I can see on the stats when I'm looking at like how many downloads I have for my podcast, it tells me what the sources are, and it shows Stitcher on there. So I think if you are hosting on your website and you wanted to drive traffic directly to your website, I think that that would be – I could see where that would be an issue. And then a lot of people don't – a lot of the bigger podcasts don't like Stitcher because they'll just hijack your podcast and you know, they'll stream it through Stitcher.
Right. They'll put the ads on or whatever they want on it, and they're just using your content.
Right. And then that's – yeah. I remember Bill Burr had that big – argument with Stitcher, you know, and I think Corolla's not on there anymore either. For me, I don't care. I just want people to listen. We're not trying to sell ads. I mean, we're not at that point yet. Well, you have a lot of listeners. Have you thought about like getting, you know, like an Amazon banner or, you know, a lot of these
affiliate account? No, I haven't. It's just always been kind of a fun thing for me. I mean, we've done 185 of them, but it's all fun. We don't worry about perfection or anything. Finally bought some good mics and kind of got it down a little bit, so you have a pattern, I guess, that you can, you know, that kind of becomes your signature, and you get better at anything if you do it enough times.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
But I'm not trying to make big bucks at it. It's just fun for me. I like talking to the people I talk to, and I like the shows. I don't do any shows I don't like just to do them. I like watching the show, so it's fun to recap them.
God, wouldn't that be horrible to like have to review some awful show that you don't even like?
Yeah.
And pretend like you liked it? Oh, that'd be the worst.
It's fun sometimes, too, to interact with the people. Like, we've had some guest people on that were, like, actresses or actors on the shows.
You get
the writers to retweet you, and you can – that's another thing with Twitter is you can communicate directly, like message one-on-one with people. Mm-hmm. So they'll talk to you directly about how they like your podcast. And, you know, you're like, wow, I'm talking to the writer of Halt and Catch Fire. He's telling me he likes my podcast. It's cool.
Huh? And you've had guests like that that are actually on the shows that you're reviewing?
Yeah, we've had guests from like Orange Is the New Black. What else? The Affair. Few shows. You know, not Meryl Streep or anybody, but you know, people that are up and coming actresses or actors that want to get their name out there, they'll come on and interview with you. So it's cool.
That's great. Well, we should get some like renowned drunks and get them to.
Yeah, who's a renowned drunk?
I don't know. Well, we'd have to get them to town though, because I mean, you can't sit there and taste, you know, do a whiskey tasting podcast. I guess we could do a guest segment and then get into the whiskey part or something. I don't know. We did that one episode where we were just driving in the car. That was a pretty bold move for episode two, where we didn't, you know, Steve wouldn't let us drink because he was driving, and so we were on our way to a gig in Sacramento, and so we did half the show on the way there, and then the other half on the way back.
Yeah, that still works though. I've heard Corolla do that a few times.
Yeah, well, this would have worked great if I had been monitoring the audio, because what happened was I was holding the recorder. And I guess the only thing I can think of is that the air conditioner in Steve's car was kind of blowing on the microphone, because sometimes like it would be fine, and then other times you'd start hearing that noise again. And I think it was just because of where I was holding the recorder.
Just get like a lavalier mic and plug it in.
Yeah, I should have done that. Yeah, because the audio is pretty rough on those.
I still think, and you had this was your idea, Casey, is to have the preview, the before your comedy shows, just have like a 40 minute radio show, podcast show before your actually comedy events comes on. That would be cool. Warm up the audience that way. I mean, you guys are funny enough to do that.
Yeah, I think that's what we're gonna do eventually. Is we're just gonna do an episode, you know, because we do that show twice a month. We'll just do an episode from the stage, you know, before, and then if, you know, because people get there early and they sit down and stuff, so they can, it'll be something to entertain them while, you know, while we're waiting, and if they want to, you know, say something or whatever, they can, and I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, just have a mic out in the audience where people can come up and you flip it on, you know, talk to people.
Yeah, we can ask them stuff. Would you come see that?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, sure, man. I saw you guys at Sebastopol. You guys are funny. It was really good. You had a really good team. I mean, you and Steve were funny, but you had that kid who was like the announcer was fantastic. That kid with the curly hair.
Yeah.
I don't even remember his name, but he was
His name is Chris Ferdinandson, and he's great. Yeah, he's a good guy. That's pretty funny. I'm going to have to tell Steve you said that. Yeah, so Mike was like, yeah, you and Steve were funny, but the host was fantastic.
Well, I mean, you'd think a guy would just go up and go, hey, here's Steve and Casey. He's not really meant to be that funny, but he really had it together. He really primed everybody for the main event. It was really – he was good at it.
No, he's a great comic. He does shows all over, too. You'll see his name, like, around on other –
He looked pretty young, too. Like, he was out of high school almost, but – I have no idea how old he really is, but he looked like he was super young.
He's 20. Yeah. He's 20. Unless he's playing at a bar and then he's 21. So, no, I think it's okay. You can be under 21 and perform at a bar.
Well, Casey, you should come on and guest on one of my TV shows, fan casts, with one of my other hosts.
I'd love to do that. I just, the problem is I don't watch any of these shows. I wish I did. I don't know. If you get into the blacklist, maybe.
You don't even have to, though. You're funny. You can riff about stuff. I mean, you talk about because it's just stuff that happens in the show. You can relate to real life stuff to it. You know, it's easily riffable, I think.
You know what I've been thinking about, and I do watch Louis, so when that comes back, I'll do one of those with you for sure. But and you've done them all, right? You've done all the way up to the last season.
We didn't do all of the first season, but yeah, we've done the second and third seasons, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
So I do think that I might start watching Mr. Robot. So if I get into that, or you know what would be fun is I could just watch, like, because a lot of these are like, you know, the scripted hour sort of story arc, you know, season shows, right? Like, you're not watching serials, you know, where it, like Law and Order, where you don't have to watch them. In a row.
Right.
So I could go, like, if you're going to watch, you know, if you're going to do Better Call Saul, right? I never even really watched Breaking Bad. So you could say, hey, we're going to do episode 6 tomorrow, and I'll just watch that one episode with absolutely no clue of what happened before or any of these characters or anything. And then I could just sort of jump in on that.
Well, I'll leave you with this idea because I think I invited you to do this a few weeks ago, but you should watch the show BoJack Horseman. It's a parody of like the Hollywood entertainment business, and it's an animated adult show, and it's super funny. And I've been looking for somebody to do a podcast with me on it. They've done 2 seasons that you can like blast through them on Netflix, but it's really just, I mean, watch one or two of them and just see if you like it, because it'd be really fun to do, and there'd be no time constraints to it. It's down now. It's just between seasons now, but we could catch up through them. But just take a watch of it and see if you like it. It's really funny, really cynical, and it's all about the Hollywood entertainment business.
I'll totally check it out. What network is it on?
I think it's on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix original.
Oh, cool. All right. I'll totally check it out.
Yeah, BoJack Horseman.
That sounds great.
It's got a lot of the voices of the people are famous, like famous actors and actresses.
Oh, so it's an animated show?
Yeah.
All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, if for nothing else, I'd just be curious to see what you think of it. Even if we weren't reviewing every episode, just maybe you can come on another time. We can just talk about that. Just talk about it in general. It'll be fun and funny, I think.
That sounds great. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we got ourselves a podcast.
All right, man. Thanks for coming back on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I hope to, you know, we'll do some more stuff in the future.
All right. Casey Williams, Barrel Proof Comedy Podcast on West Coast Project.
Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
All right. Bye.